Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Today, we start with the end of the message in mind. In Revelation chapter 22, it says this, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, and also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. There will be no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Friends, there will be a day when there will be no more sick bodies, no more failing memories, no more physical effects of sin, a day with spiritual healing. Soon we will walk with the one who bled to save us. Would you sing this with us?
Is gone, mercy fills the streets. The cup gone, the one who bled to save me, and walk with him. There will be a day.
Thank you.
fit to let us leave this earth together in that great day. What a day that will be. If not, as you continue to call us home one by one, may we be reminded that we get to shout the hymn of heaven, which is praise to God and glory to our Father. So we love you. We thank you for that. Father God, today, as we point to heaven through the scripture, as we point to what Jesus is doing to make us new, Father, teach us from Malachi. And Lord, let us worship you with thanksgiving. That's the hymn of heaven. It's gratefulness and thanksgiving and praise that is due your name. So God, we will praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. Welcome to First Baptist Church. Thank you for being here on this Labor Day weekend. We're honored to have you with us today. If you're a guest at home, if you'll use the information on the screen in front of you to contact us, we'd love to know that you're there. If you're in the room and you're a guest, you can fill out the worship registration or use the QR code on the back of the pew in front of you. But we'd love to have your info as well so that we can send you a gift in the mail. We pray every week for a different missionary partner and for also a different church. So today, our missionary of the week that we're praying for, it's a family. It's Ivan and Melissa Mukulu. The Mukulus serve just outside of Jinja, Uganda. They've been serving there for a number of years. Actually, Ivan is from there. And then Melissa, on mission, met him there and were married, and they're serving the Lord. They have a pastor's training school. They have a church planting network of multiple churches that they have helped to plant. They have a home for children without parents. They have a baby's home, a separate home. Well over 100 employees who are helping to take care of all those kids and all the things that are happening. There is a great need to pray for them, for God to move in power, for God to provide. They're doing a great work. And then our church of the week is Rooted Church. Rooted Church was the, it was known, let's see, what was their name? I'm just drawing a blank. They are a church in right in Albertville, almost to Boaz. Chad Halcox is the pastor. They've changed their name in the last few months. But here's what I want you to know. What God has been doing there in the last 6 weeks has been amazing. They have seen a number of people give their life to the Lord. They're a small church that God is now blossoming and growing. Many have come to know the Lord, be baptized. Families are joining the church. We're praying for that revival that's happening there to continue. So let's pray for them. And then we're thankful that we can pray for other churches in our city as well. Let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father, thank you for Rooted Church. Thank you for Chad and Brandy. Lord, thank you for their ministry there and how they are ministering to so many people in their community. Father, we thank you for the men and women and boys and girls that have come to know you in the last few weeks there and have followed through with believers' baptism, those that are seeking to grow in their faith. We thank you that you're sending families to be there to help them be a light in their community as they minister to people from Albertville and Boaz. Father, we pray that the rest of this year would be the greatest half a year that they've had of ministry ever. Lord, we pray also for Ivan and Melissa in Uganda just a couple of months ago as they went through a difficult time where they were robbed in a very traumatic way. Lord, we're praying for their peace of mind, their peace of heart. We're praying for safety for them, for boldness. And God, we thank you that what Satan meant for evil, you can now use for good, that they won't stop, that there'll be a testimony to others around them, that they will carry on in the faith in what you've called them to do. Please be their provider in all things and in all ways. We're thankful for them, Father, and for what they're doing. And Father, I pray for every church in our county, God, that today the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Father, that the truth of who you are will be revealed from Scripture, from prophecy, from the New Testament, from the Old Testament, that people will hear it and respond to who you are. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord, our righteousness. We thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, that you are Jehovah Sekenu, our righteousness, that you are the one who makes all things new, that you are the beginning and the end, that you are the one who brings us hope and healing. So, Father, today we're asking that we would give you the praise you're worthy of, that you would receive it, and that lives would be changed. And that's our prayer today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. It says, praise him, praise him. So let's stand together and praise the Lord.
Lift it up, church. Angels in glory. service today. He talked about heaven and how good heaven is. Folks, that is something to be thankful for. That is something to be that this is not it for us. We have heaven to look forward to. We celebrate the goodness of God this morning. So as we worship, God is so, so good. Let's sing that out together this morning. No height and depth can separate your steadfast love, who can escape your faithfulness and endless sea. So full of grace and mercy, we sing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Let's sing that second verse. Haunted by the past no more.
And I'm haunted by the past no more. My innocence has been restored. Forgiveness flows from your veins. Your kindness shows. All of my life, all of my life. storms may wait for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. And I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. I see the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Yeah, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life.
In our eyes. God, I pray that every person in this room would take a moment to connect and worship to you. that every person in this room could stop and just think about the evidence of your grace and goodness. We've sung about it all morning. You've been so good to us in our moments of weakness, in our moments of faithlessness, in our moments of strength. We're not bound to our yesterdays. God, thank you. Thank you for grace and mercy. Would you extend your grace as we open your word now and teach us? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Malachi. This is our fourth and final week in Malachi. Then we'll finish up our sermon series called Major in the Minors with Hosea the next couple of weeks. But today we're in Malachi. Let me remind you that Malachi was written as a series of disputes between God and Israel and between God and the Israelite priests. But scattered throughout the book of Malachi, and it's short to read, but scattered throughout, you will find prophecies of a Messiah to come. And so today, we're not going to look at a dispute, but we're going to look at a prophecy of Jesus that would come 400 years later, and a prophecy of Jesus that is yet to be fulfilled. We've sung about heaven, but listen, guys, it could be today. It could be tomorrow, it could be 100 years from now, but I promise you it's a day closer than yesterday. So may we learn to be able to say to God, we long to breathe the air of heaven. We long to stand there with the Lord face to face, with the one who bled to die and save us. So today we will focus on the prophecies of the Messiah. Malachi chapter 3, listen to this verse. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now, in that one verse, there are three messengers. Do you catch them? The first messenger is Malachi himself, the one that God is speaking to him, and he in turn is writing these words down for the Israelites. His name, if you go back to week one where we started, Malachi's name literally means in Hebrew, my messenger. So he's the first messenger here to send a message. The second messenger, when he says, behold, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. This is a prophecy about John the Baptizer who would show up 400 years later. We know him as John the Baptist, but he's John the Baptizer and he would come. Now, how do we know this is the one it's referring to? Well, the beauty of this, we know because Jesus said so. If we were to look in Matthew chapter 11, here's what you'll find. John the Baptizer has been going around prophesying about Jesus. He's made a lot of enemies in the Jewish world because he has been proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting on. He ends up being arrested. He is in prison. He is about to die for his faith. And so in that moment, he sends some of his own disciples to Jesus and says, just ask him to be sure. Just be sure he's really who he says he is. Now, before you give John too hard of a time and say, why did he have a moment of a lack of faith in that moment? Listen, it wasn't the lack of faith. He was holding on to faith, but it was in a dark hour. And so I can definitely empathize with John when he sends people to Jesus to say, look, I'm in prison. I'm going to die. Are you really? Are you really the one, or should we expect another? Because Jesus had not been a real forthcoming with his own introduction of himself as the Messiah yet. In fact, John up to this point had said more plainly that Jesus was the Messiah than Jesus has said. So he says, I want to be sure I've got this right. Are you really the one, or are we waiting on someone else? And then Jesus tells John's disciples, go back and tell him the blind receive sight. Go back and tell him the lame walk. Go back and tell him all the good things that you've seen. And then he says this. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, Jesus says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before me. What is that? That's Malachi 3:1. Jesus just quoted Malachi 3:1, speaking of John the Baptizer. So that clears it up. Then he says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's a whole other message about what that means. But Jesus says, I love this man. He's the forerunner of me. He was sent by me. Malachi 3:1, he's the fulfillment of it. So when Jesus quotes Malachi 3:1, he says John's fulfilling the prophecy, but he's also saying, I am that Messiah. So I'm fulfilling that prophecy as well. So the first messenger in Malachi 3 is Malachi. The second messenger, John the Baptizer. The third messenger, none other than Jesus Christ himself. Look at what it says. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. That phrase, the messenger of the covenant, do you know how many times it appears in the Bible? Just one. This is it. It's the only time this description is used. And it is referring to Jesus. Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. What does that mean? Up to this point, they were living under the old covenant. They would continue to live under the old covenant for 430 or so more years. Because the old covenant said this. God gave us the laws. And he gave the laws for two reasons. The first reason was so you could try to obey them because it would help your life to be better. And worship God. But the second reason was so you could realize really quickly you can't obey them and we need something else from God besides our own strength. And so the old covenant would say you would sacrifice animals periodically to cover your sins for a time. None of that was bringing ultimate salvation, but you were to cover your sins for a time and it had to happen over and over and you had to obey the law. So Malachi prophesies that there's a messenger of the new covenant coming, and this messenger is Jesus. He shows up 400 years later, 430 or so years later. He goes to the cross, and when he dies and comes back to life, he brings with him a new covenant. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. The new covenant is a covenant of mercy. Jesus was the sacrifice, so no more animals. He brings us new life. So you and I walk in the privilege of the new covenant. We don't have to obey all the law. No, we're not trying to ignore the law, but Jesus fulfilled the law. So now we walk in the truth of who he is and what he's doing. I worded it this way for you if you're taking notes. Malachi is proclaiming a Messiah is coming, who will restore Israel, who will deal with the ungodly, he says so later in chapter 3, and who will bring salvation to all and grace to all those who believe. So, right here, the first prophecy about the Messiah is Malachi 3. Now I want us to turn the page in your Bible or swipe up on your digital Bible to Malachi 4. And as you come to Malachi 4, I have to tell you, I have been waiting to share this passage since we started this series 16 weeks ago. And I've surely been waiting to share it with you these last three Sundays as we looked at Malachi. To me, this is the greatest verse in all the book of Malachi. It's not the verse about tithing in my mind. It's not some of the other verses. It is this verse right here, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Look what it says. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stalls. Now listen, this is a dual prophecy, meaning it was fulfilled when Jesus came, but it's also going to be fulfilled again in the time that's not happened yet. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it describes something for you. It says that when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings, that we will receive the mercy of God and that we'll go out leaping like calves from the stall. Now listen, we live on Sand Mountain, so every last one of you have driven past a pasture when calves were first dropping and new little calves on the ground, and there's something exciting to watch them. Why? Because do cows walk real slowly? No, they bounce up and down, right? It's like, listen, I dare you to drive past a pasture when a new calf is doing its little bounce and kick and all that and not smile. If you don't smile, you are the most crotchety person I've ever met in my life. You got to smile at that. It's incredible. And it's the idea of freedom and joy. And so here it says that, let me read it again. It says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. So this prophecy brings joy, and it gives us a colorful picture of the Messiah. So I want to unpack this verse for you part by part, because I think it will help you. Now you'll see behind me the verse, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. First of all, notice the word son. That is not a misprint. It really is S-U-N, not S-O-N. If you've heard it said over and over, but you've not read it, you thought it said S-O-N. We're thinking the Son of Righteousness because he's the Son of God. But no, it's the S-U-N. It's the idea of a sunrise. It's a beautiful picture of that. The sun brings light from darkness, right? This morning, like every morning, I get here as the sun's coming up, and as I park my car, and as you can kind of, our normal routine, we mixed it up a little today because of the holiday weekend, but normally a group of men gather here to pray before the sun comes up. Then we go grab a quick bite to eat and then come back and park my car in a certain spot in the parking lot, the furthest I can get from the door, because I want you to sit by the door and invite your friends to come here. So I love to walk across that parking lot looking at the steeple with the sun coming up behind it. And as the sun's coming up, I'm always singing the same song every week without fail. It's I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And I sing that walking across that parking lot because I want to remind myself that I need God and that you need me to need God, that we need him in this place. I hope you'll walk from wherever you park and whistle your way in singing, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. So as the sun comes up, it's beautiful, and you go from darkness. There have been times that I've had to come into this building in the dark. It's a big building, makes lots of noises. You find yourself walking around on the third floor up here in the dark, and let me tell you what, it'll get a little scary for a country boy like me. And so, it's just noises and all kinds of things, not too worried. But darkness hides things. It hides people. It hides problems. You never know what might be happening. Those things happen. The other night, we were sitting there at home. It was about 10:30, and I'm normally way in bed before then, but this night was waiting up for something particular, and all of a sudden, the doorbell starts ringing real hard. I get up pretty quickly and go to the door and look out the window, and there's nobody there. If it was one of y'all, shame on you. I don't know who did it, but somebody did it. So, and it's a tense moment when you think, well, so they're hiding. They want me to open the door, and then I'm going to have to give them, whatever. And I don't have much of that. And so, it was like, what do we do? I thought, let them stay. Just went back to bed. Went to bed. Left them out there, whoever they were. But the reality is, in the darkness can bring some things that are a little scary. It can. It can bring that there for us at times. And so the reality is, when you see the scripture, it says the sun, S-U-N, rises with healing in his wings. Light brings truth. Light reveals things. And the scripture is clear that Jesus is light. In John chapter 1, it tells us that he is the light that came into the world. So Jesus comes to show us truth, to reveal things, to bring new things for us, to give us the ability to know the truth. And that's what makes us children of God. Now, let's keep going. The Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. So what is righteousness? The Messiah brings righteousness. Listen to this prophecy in Jeremiah. I love it. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." That's Jesus. He is our righteousness. We celebrate who he is and what he's done. So now, if the Lord is our righteousness, well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. It is being able to stand right and in covenant, in relationship with God. It's right living. It's holiness. And here's the truth. If you try to be righteous on your own, you will fail. You cannot claim righteousness apart from Jesus. So when the Son of righteousness rises, that's the only way we can be righteous and have true right living and be in right relationship. We sin. We disobey. We fall short. But God provides righteousness. Amen? Aren't you glad he did that for you and made you holy and righteous? Let's keep unpacking the verse. The Son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Healing. This idea of healing, that the Messiah will bring healing to Israel. There will be healing in the nations. That means all peoples. There will be healing of the broken, healing for those in need. Listen, this is so much more than just physical healing. God will heal us from physical things, but he will heal us of sin and the effects of sin and destruction. And I read to you at the start of the service, the first thing we did was read Revelation 22. But Revelation 22 is really just confirming what Ezekiel 47:12 tells us about healing in heaven. Listen, and if you have been waiting on healing emotionally, mentally, physically in some way, Celebrate Revelation 22 in a day that is to come. Celebrate Ezekiel 47. Let me read Revelation 22 again. It says this. Now, this is a vision from John the Revelator, not John the Baptizer, who was the messenger that was foretold in Malachi 3. This is John the Revelator, who got a vision from God and wrote it down about heaven. He says, this is what the new Jerusalem, the city of God in heaven, will be like. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, if you've heard me read that before, I have, but if you've been to a funeral that I have conducted, I read this at a lot of funerals because I think it's one of the most hopeful passages in all the scripture. It describes the throne of God and the Lamb, and from that throne comes this incredible river of life, this river of grace, this river of truth. It's pure and it's holy. And it says the river flows through the middle of the street, and the river flows through the middle of this tree, the tree of life, that is so big it occupies both sides of the river, and the tree bears 12 different kinds of fruit. And it says here, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It's that God will heal us of our sinfulness. God will heal us of our diseases. God will heal us of our failing minds and bodies. And then it goes on to say, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and there will be no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. There's a sun out there today, and we won't need it anymore, because the S-O-N is the S-U-N in heaven. Oh, it's beautiful. There will be no night there, and it's amazing what he will do. So there's going to be a day. Listen, don't miss this. And the younger you are, the less this will mean to you. And the older we get, the more it means to us. Don't miss this. There will be a day there will be no more sick bodies. There will be a day there will be no more failing memories. There will be a day there will be no more physical effects of sin. This will be a day of spiritual healing, fulfilled and complete relationships with God. The great day of the Lord is coming. Friends, you have to walk in the assurance of that, because if you're not getting physical healing on this earth, I can't promise it to you, but I can promise you 100% guaranteed that you, as a son or daughter of the King, will have ultimate fulfillment and healing for all eternity. Scripture's clear. Now, why does God choose to heal some we pray for today and allow others to walk through the grace of that difficulty until the day they pass away and then they get their ultimate healing? Why does he do it? I don't know. I couldn't explain it. That's the mystery of God. And anyone who tells you they've got that all figured out, I would be leery of them. All we can go by is what we know from the scripture, and that is this, that God will receive glory in good times and bad, in joy and in pain. And we, his children, can experience the goodness of God and intimacy with him in the midst of those things. So what I would encourage you to realize is that God will bring you healing if you're waiting for it. And whether it happens tomorrow on this earth or next week in heaven, I don't have the answer, but he's a good God. And I can walk and live my life trusting that that's the case. And I will tell you, listen, if you're young in here, let me go ahead and speak to all of us for a moment. Eventually, your eyes will fade. Your hearing will fail you. Your bodies will distort. Aches and pains will show up. I'm just talking about me right now, okay? And so, I mean, things will happen. But the reality is there will be a day when we will be made new and whole and complete in him. And the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Now, lastly, let's look again. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. I want us to focus for just a few minutes, real quickly, on the word wings. This is important. The wings idea has a double meaning. There's one obvious and one not so obvious. And I'm going to kind of dive deep for a minute into biblical language. It won't take but a minute, but let me do that and you hang in here with me. The Hebrew word used here, remember, the New Testament was written in Greek and a little bit of Aramaic. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament Greek, every word has 6 different tenses. It's a hard language. It can mean all kinds of things. It's much more difficult than English, and English is not easy, by the way. And then the Hebrew language is a much simpler language. It does not have near as many words in there. If there were a Hebrew dictionary, there's not near as many words in it as there are in the English dictionary. And each word paints a picture, or a lot of times can have multiple meanings. And the word for wings right here, if you were to look it up in Hebrew, it says the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his, the word is kanaf. And this word kanaf has at least 5 meanings in the Old Testament, but 3 that show up over and over and over again. So here's the 3 most prevalent meanings of the word. There's the word wing. It means the wing of a bird. So it literally does mean that, the wing of a bird. The second time you'll see kanaf over and over, it's talking about the corners or the ends of the earth. You'll talk about, if someone says you'll go to the far corners of the earth, that's the word kanaf. It's a derivative of that word. And then the third way that it's used mostly is the corner of a garment. And it's the idea, it's the corner of a piece of fabric. It's what you would wear. A Jewish person, an Orthodox Jewish person today, would still do something very special with the corners of their garment. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me show you what I mean by these 3 things. Hang in here with me. This will mean something to you. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, God says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings," kanaf, "and brought you to myself." Right here is the idea of the wings of a bird, the protection of a bird, the healing of a bird, the strength to rise and freedom of a bird. It's a beautiful picture of what that means. That's the word. Then in Isaiah 24:6, God says this, "From the ends or the corners," the kanaf, it's a derivative of kanaf, "from the ends or the corners of the earth, we hear the song of praise, of glory to the righteous one." This is the idea of the far reaches of something is what it's denoting here. And then in Numbers chapter 15, verse 17, it says this, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garment throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each other." So the reality is this, it's saying that you are to put a tassel, that's the word tzitzit, and you are to sew it onto the corner, that's the word kanaf, of your garment, and you're to do that to remember who God is. So the Israelites would do that. And if you were to go to Israel today and see an Orthodox Jew, they will either have on a tallit or a tallis. And it's the idea, it's either an outer garment or an inner garment. But one of those, whether you see it or not, will have on the corner of it, it will have some tassels. It's usually 8 strings, one of them being blue. They are then specifically tied into 5 knots and they hang loose. I have a beautiful prayer shawl that has this in great detail that came from Orthodox Judaism. But we're in the process of moving houses and it's in a box. Couldn't bring it today. Sorry about that. No visual aid. But the truth is you can put the prayer shawl on or the tallit or the tallis. You can have this and it's a garment and it would have it. You can reach down as a Jewish man. You could feel it. And as you felt those 5 knots represent the Torah, their love and their memory of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're reminded of God's laws. And then the spaces in between have a great meaning. Some Jewish rabbis would say the 4 spaces between the 5 knots remind you of the name Jehovah, and it's kind of, they have a way of saying it into 4 syllables anyway, that it reminds you of who he is. But all of the theologians would agree that the number of strings in the tassel, the number of knots represented, the blue cord, you were to take the numeric value of the Hebrew alphabet. I told you we're diving deep for a second. If you were to put all that together and add it up, what they're wearing on their garments comes up to the number 613. And this 613 represents the 613 laws of the Old Covenant, of the Old Testament. So they were serious about, when the Bible says to wear it on your garments or to do it on your foreheads like phylacteries, it's a reminder they were going to physically have representations of their love for the law and wanting to obey it. And so that word, kanaf, shows up in this regard, and it has a meaning right here for us today. Now, how do we apply that to our lives, and which is it referring to here? Is it the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing like the wings of a bird? Is it the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing like the corners of the earth? Is it the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing like the corners of his garment? I would say the answer is yes. It could be any and all of those. It could be any one of those, but let me show you in the Gospels how it might be that last one, the corner of a garment. So I'm going to ask you to make an assumption, and the assumption is based off Scripture. So if you move to Matthew chapter 14, listen to this verse. It says this, and when they had crossed over, this is the disciples and Jesus, when they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored them that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him, it made them well. Could it be that word had gotten out that this Messiah is coming across the lake of Gennesaret? And sure enough, he would be wearing the correct garment because Jesus was living the life of a Jewish rabbi and he would have it on. And it says that they sent for all the sick to come and that many touched him. They just touched the fringe of his garment and many who touched him were made well. So is it a leap to think that they thought Jesus was fulfilling Malachi 4:2? I don't think so. But really, I'm not so sure it's so much about them realizing that Jesus was the fulfillment of Malachi 4:2, but that they had already heard he had fulfilled Malachi 4:2. Because if you look at the history and the timeline of Matthew, just a few months before all of these people touched his garment and were healed, just a few months before, we find someone else who touches the hem of his garment. If you look in Luke chapter 8, listen to this story. It says, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. Now let me stop right there before I keep reading. Friends, you may not have ever considered yourself to be the woman with the issue of blood in this story, but you are the woman with the issue of blood in this story. Men, you're her. Women, you're her. Me, I'm her. What do I mean? This woman was living under the weight of a horrible condition for 12 years. She had desperately spent all of her resources trying to get better on her own, and it was not working. She was desperate. She was an outcast. We all have been outcasts at one point in our lives because of our sin. She was not allowed to be around holy and righteous people. She was not even allowed to get close enough to a Jewish person that she might make them defiled. So she would have to yell unclean and stay at a distance. But this woman had enough faith, however much faith she had, enough faith where she basically said, I'm either going to die with this blood condition or I'm going to die being stoned to death because I'm going to get to this man and I'm going to touch his garment. And so she makes her way to Jesus. Let's keep reading what it says. Let me read that last part again. She came up behind him and she touched the fringe of his garment and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. Peter's basically saying, Lord, everybody's touching you. People are bumping in. What do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him, declared in the presence of all the people that she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So here's what I know. Whether the verse that was fulfilled prophecy is that the Son of Righteousness will bring healing in the corners of his garments, if she believed it, she touched him and she was healed. Whether she believed that the Son of Righteousness would bring healing in his wings, she believed he was the Son of Righteousness, she touched him and she was healed. She had great faith, faith that risked her life because they would have stoned her if everyone would have known she had pushed into them in that crowd. There's no doubt about it. Her life was in jeopardy, but she was healed. And then because of her great faith, and her great faith really started in desperation. So I want to say to you, if you think, I don't have that kind of faith, well, do you have that kind of desperation? Because of your own sin, you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You get desperate enough. Let that be the source of your faith. If you say you got family members that you want to come to Jesus and you're praying, you're trusting and believing, you say, I don't know about my faith in this matter. It just seems like God's not going to answer. Let your desperation be the spark of faith you need to say, God, will you do this? One more time, will you do this? Will you make this relationship right? Will you heal this person? Will you save this person? Will you do this work in me? Will you help me to walk pure and holy in you and quit doing the things I was doing? Whatever the case may be. So Jesus, because of how this woman responded to him, he says something to her he's never said to anybody else. Look all throughout the New Testament, and you will not find another place where Jesus called someone this. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. In this moment of her faith, Jesus gets on a very intimate and personal level and calls her daughter. Probably no one had called her anything personal in a long, long time. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. So here's what I know. Friends, you and I can relate pretty well to that woman. And the Son of Righteousness came with healing in his wings 2,000 years ago. But the Son of Righteousness will come again with healing in his wings sometime in the near future. So I got a few questions for you before we go. Number one, do you know him? If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, do you know him? You are missing and needing spiritual healing. So I want to encourage you to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Reach out and touch that. You say, what do you mean? And what does that look like? It means you taking a step of faith that says in your heart, in your mind, in all your being that says, God, forgive me. I reach out to you. I need you to save me. I need you to make me new. I trust that you can do it. It's your own words, but you reach out to him. You receive his gift of mercy, his gift of grace and salvation. But some of us in this room, or maybe a majority of us in this room, already have spiritual healing. But let me ask you, do you need emotional healing? Do you need physical healing? I cannot promise you it will come today. Oh, I wish I could. But I can promise you this. If you know Jesus, it is coming. Ezekiel shows it, Jeremiah tells it, Revelation 22 describes it. There'll be a day you'll be made whole. There'll be a day we'll walk new in him. So today, ask him to move in your life and then rest in his promises. The messenger of the new covenant is at work in your life and mine, and that should change the way we live. And so I want to encourage you to let it change the way you live. So just as sure as the sun came up this morning, the Son of Righteousness is here today with healing in his wings. He's here. Jesus is still bringing salvation. He's still making people new, and he's still pointing to a day because he's residing and the Holy Spirit's at work here. There will be a time in the flesh he will return, and we all will see that newness and wholeness again. Would you bow with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a second? Are you here and you say, Chris, I need Jesus. If that's you, I invite you right now just to stop and pray and commit your life to him. Ask him to move in and through your life. Reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Fall under the shadow of his wings. Maybe you're here though and you say, we've got a situation in our family that needs healing. We've got a relative that doesn't know the Lord. I've got a son or daughter, a parent, a brother, sister, a coworker, someone that desperately needs Jesus. Listen, can I encourage you? Don't give up. Come and pray and just have enough faith and desperation to say, oh Lord, please save them. We're still asking you to do that. Maybe you know someone that needs physical healing. Maybe you want to come and pray for that. My prayer is that God would do it on this earth, but if he chooses to wait and do it in heaven, we'll trust that he's doing it for his glory and their good. And then lastly, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to assume the role of John the Baptizer? He was the messenger in chapter 3. And what did John do? John prepared the way for Jesus to come and make all things new. And listen, if you've got friends or family members or coworkers or school classmates or whatever the case may be, people in your life that need you to be like John the Baptizer, they need you to prepare the way through your living, through your loving, through your caring, through your praying, that Jesus can come and make all things new in them. So if that's you, would you come pray for that person? Just take a step of humility to come and get on your knees and pray for them. I don't always ask you to come down front. A lot of times I tell you to pray at your seat, but today I'm asking if you will humbly come and pray for their salvation, humbly come and pray for their physical healing, humbly come and pray for God to give them release from bondage or whatever the case may be. And maybe you have another prayer need. I would love to pray with you, whatever you need. This is between you and the Lord, but will you take those steps? Father God, I thank you that Jesus is the embodiment of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. He is the Son who gives light to truth. He is the righteous one who makes us righteous by his grace and mercy. He is the healer, the gentle healer who is still healing people today. And he is the one that will do so. Lord, they touched the hem of his garments and they were made new. And oh God, symbolically, we can do the same today. Would you bring salvation? Would you bring healing? Would you bring the hope of healing for those you're going to choose to wait to bring it ultimately in heaven to? God, help us to live different because of this scripture. Speak to us now, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.